Well, good morning. Happy New Year. It is good to see you. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and are ready to get going. I'm going to apologize ahead of time. Sarah's making me do a cleanse right now. And it started yesterday, and it's 3 weeks of eating rabbit food. So as I was sitting there worshiping, I also heard my stomach sounding like a thunderstorm. So if it breaks through this mic, I apologize. But I'm super glad to be here today, and as we kick off a new year, there's a lot of excitement going on. So a couple things that you want to put on your calendar, and that's not even to put on your calendar, I just need you to do these for me. If you are currently not receiving information from us, like if you're not getting our emails, you got to let us know, because we're that's the way we communicate. So we just sent out a reading plan, a Bible reading plan for this year. And so it is on the website, but we also emailed it to you. So if you didn't get it, it's because we don't have your email. So if you would take a few minutes sometime this week just to get online and to give us that information, that's what it's for. So and that reading plan is there. So we want to encourage you to take advantage of that. We've actually slowed it way down for you this year, and we did it on purpose. So we're not covering as much, but we did that with the intentionality that we want you to take time to truly and sit down with the Lord, reading His Word. It's even a great time if you're not a journaler to start journaling. It's something I have grown into through the years. I typically the last week of December spend some time just reading back over things that I've written through the year, and it's just a good reminder of God's faithfulness. And so that's there for you. I want to encourage you to do that. The other thing that I need you to do is if you are currently not a part of a life group, and we want you to be, and you want to be a part of a life group, I need you to do me a favor this morning, because we're getting ready to start the on-ramp for that. So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be kicking off those life groups. If you have not been contacted by us or by a life group leader, we need your name and your phone number written down in the back. There'll be somewhere back there for you at the end of the service. It'll take you literally 2 seconds to do that. And that way we make sure you don't get left out. And if you're also feel like that God is calling you to lead a group or co-lead a group, we would love to sit down and talk to you about that also. So if you would even jot that beside your name, that would be awesome. So that's all there. Everything's online. You need to get online and register for that, but if you'll do that for us today. So I'm a very disciplined person. I love New Year's. I love New Year's resolutions, and I get it. Some people don't like to use that word. They'd rather use goals or change. I don't care what you call it. It's things that we put in play that we want to accomplish this year. And so I like it. I enjoy that. I enjoy the challenge of that. But there is part of the year, like when you get to, I was talking to Sarah about it this week, when we get to January 1st, there is part of me that gets anxious. And the truth is I've really never been an anxious person. I think the older I get, the more anxious I get. I think part of that is through experience in life challenges, you experience loss and you experience heartache. And the older you get, the more you feel that. So you get to January 1st, and you look and you say, okay, well, what's really ahead of us this year? Like, you start looking way out. So there's this anxiousness that builds in with the excitement of what a new year will bring. And as I was praying about it this week, so what we're doing this week and next Sunday, is the next 2 weeks, we're just sharing you what our prayer is for this body, for this church body for this year. And we're going to talk a little bit about intimacy and community and mission, which we talk about a good bit. But it's a prayer from our heart for you. So as I was praying for that this week, what the Lord laid on my heart was this: Josh, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. What does that look like? Right? Because as we look at what the church, this church is for the future of, just not this year, but what's to come, What we have purposely sought to remind each of you is this two-sided centerpiece that God designed for meaningful and intentional formation and partnership with His Spirit through the Word of God and prayer. So from the beginning, it's been our desire that we would make intimacy with God our highest priority in life. Like, the intimacy is what fuels the community, and it's what fuels the mission. That we would be a people who are growing and maturing through passionate pursuit of the Lord in the context of biblical community for the sake of the world that He created and loves. The Word of God and prayer. And it sounds really simple, doesn't it? I mean, it should be. But I want to acknowledge that we tend to sometimes make it much more complicated than it actually is. And at worst, sometimes we just ignore it altogether. And as I was praying this week, I couldn't help but think about spiritual mature people that have been in my life. People that I want to model my life after, and all of them have intimate discipline and life-giving practices of being in the presence of God. And that's what I want in my life. That's what I want in your life. Jesus Himself demonstrates without hesitation the beautiful invitation to know the Father through the Word and through Spirit-empowered prayer. So as we look at a new year, our hope is for this year that together we continue to learn from Him, to learn from Jesus, to learn from His intimate, prayerful relationship with the Father through the Spirit in the context of our church family, with the anticipation that it will shape and transform our relationship with Him, and that it will shape and transform how we live in the world where God has sovereignly placed us. So with that being said, would you stand with me? And we're going to read from Luke 11. I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to ask you to read with me, starting in verse 2 through the end of the prayer. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of the disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, and we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Would you pray with me? Lord, we do come today excited. Just excited for a new year and for just to be a part of what You're doing. That's what we want. But we want to walk closer with You. We want to know You more. So even this morning, would You open our hearts to Your Word? Would You speak to us? In Your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So what I want to do this morning is, we could spend 8 weeks breaking down this prayer here. Most of us are familiar with it. If you've been to a ball field, you've said it many times. But I simply want to look at the request of the disciples here. And I want us to consider, what if their request became ours? What if their pursuit, as imperfect as it was, what if it became ours? What might that mean for us? How could that shape us as we step into 2026? What would that look like? Lord, teach us to pray. It's one of the perpetual things that we observe in Jesus' life over and over again. He made a habit of praying, right? He prayed. Luke tells us in chapter 5:16 that Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. He even lets us know immediately before He named the 12 that He had been away all night praying. In chapter 9:18, He brings Peter and James and John along as He ascends the mountain to pray before He's transfigured. His disciples had observed the rhythms of His life, and they had seen Him regularly pray, which prompts the question that they ask. So, in one sense, Jesus' disciples, what they're asking for is, how do we pray? Lord, how do we pray? Teach us to pray like that, which is a really interesting request because these guys were from Jewish families and they'd been praying their whole life. I mean, there was morning prayer, there was afternoon prayer, there was evening prayer. So it's a really interesting request that they're asking because they knew how to pray. So why ask Jesus to teach them how to pray? I think it's simply this, because he prayed differently. Right? He prayed differently. He honored the Jewish customs and rhythms, but Jesus prayed like he really knew the Father, and no one had seen that kind of intimacy before. He prayed with a sense of reverence that was sincere but vulnerable and honest. His prayers were conversations, not just pleas, not just petitions. You watch Jesus pray, and here's what you observe. He listens as much as he speaks. Prayer was a place where his eyes were open and his steps were directed. In prayer, Jesus receives empowerment to do the will of the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Most distinctly, the prayers of Jesus got the attention of God the Father. And the disciples knew it. They observed it. Lord, teach us to pray. To pray like that, the way you do it, Jesus. That's what they're asking. So what does Jesus do with the request? He answers them not by giving them a lecture. He answers them not by asking them to pray more and to pray harder. No, he answers them by inviting them to pray differently. And in praying differently, this is what he offers. He offers them the opportunity to call his Father their Father, Abba. It's intimacy. What binds them together as his disciples is the invitation to know and to be known by God, the God of all creation. And that's the invitation set before you and me today as we step into this year. So I don't know if that meets you, but for me, my prayer journey, it's been a journey, right? So I grew up praying from the time I probably... Day two, I don't know. We're praying family, and but I think part of my story was it felt a lot early on. It's just something I had. It's just something we did, right? Like checking off something. About 15 years ago, I heard Billy Graham towards the end of his ministry. Somebody asked him if he had any regrets, and what he said was, "My biggest regret in my ministry is that I didn't pray more." And it struck me. So it's led me into this journey of being before God and really praying, right? And if I'm being honest, and I think if we're honest this morning, prayer often feels daunting, doesn't it? It often feels awkward. Perhaps some of the time we might even admit that it feels pointless, right? At minimum, we can say it's mysterious. But as in the mystery, there are so many questions that come out. I wrote some of these this morning down for you. Is prayer really necessary? If God is all-powerful, that means he accomplishes what he wants, when he wants, right? So why are we invited to ask? Why doesn't God answer my prayers for lost friends and families? I've been praying for him forever. I don't see a whole lot changing. Why doesn't God answer my prayers for healing and renewal and restoration? I've been praying for this sickness for years. What happens when we pray? Does anything happen when we pray? Do my prayers actually matter? Do they matter to God? Do they matter in real life, in my life? You see, prayer abandons independence. Prayer forsakes any thought that you can make it on your own. Prayer affirms dependency. Prayer acknowledges weakness. Prayer, it renounces the assessments of your own capabilities. Prayer embraces the reality of failure. Prayer tells you that you're not at the center. It's not about you. Prayer calls you to abandon your plans for wiser plans of another. Prayer flows from a deep personal sense of need and runs towards God's abundant grace. Because what prayer really is, it's just not natural for us. It's not natural for us to embrace our sin and weakness and failure. It's not natural for us to be comfortable depending on the mercy of another. It's not natural for us to surrender our hopes and dreams to the better version of another. It's not natural for us to surrender our wisdom and control to someone greater than us. It's not natural for us to think we need grace. On the other hand, it's not natural for us to think that our righteousness and our wisdom, it is natural for us to think our wisdom and strength and work are enough. As a result, many of our prayers are the religious pronouncements of self-righteous people. The long wish list of entitled people are the impatient demands of people who are wondering what in the world is God doing. Listen, if we're honest, we've asked these questions before. You see, this is the mystery of prayer. Does God hear my prayers? Does he listen? Does he speak? And if he does, how do I hear his voice? And it's precisely here where you and I will determine if the question the disciples is asking, Jesus, would you teach us to pray the way you do, is what we want. The mystery is really laid out. I talked about it at the beginning in Philippians 4:6. You can turn there if you want. We won't be there but a second. But Paul says this, be anxious about nothing. Pray about what? Everything. All things. Why do you think, listen to me, why do you think we wrestle and ultimately refuse to take God up on this offer? Why does it seem like we would rather spend hours turning our anxious thoughts than to just wallowing in them as opposed to surrendering them to God in prayer? Do we not buy it? Surely it couldn't be that simple. I read this week. Anxiety is the soundtrack humming beneath life. Do you feel that today? Listen, as a pastor, as a doctor, it's not a real doctor, but a chiropractor. I'm confronted with conversations on a weekly basis where anxiety and fear is the theme. People are overwhelmed. And it defines so much of us. And it's not just you, it's me, right? Oftentimes, I'm more familiar with anxiety than I am peace. Oftentimes, I'm better acquainted with a subconscious drive to control the circumstances overwhelming me than with accepting the unburdening freedom promised to me in prayer by our Father. And I felt it. I felt it over the last 6 weeks. Y'all know I've got an aneurysm. We've been making jokes about it. If I forget stuff, I'm like, yes, you know. Yeah, that's funny. That's a bad joke. No, but seriously, over the last 6 weeks, it's been clear, Sarah and I had this conversation, that I'm a controlling guy, right? I am. And it's been clear here because you find out you got this thing going on, and then you don't have a doctor's appointment for 2 months, so you're just kind of sitting waiting. What do you do? Should I drink coffee? Should I work out? Should I, all the things. And what you realize in that moment is the anxiety that you experience is from the fact that you don't control it. We know how it should go down, and when it doesn't go down that way, You see, there's so many reasons why we don't pray. And I'm not going to try to sit up here today and make a list of all of them, but perhaps what sits underneath many of the reasons why we don't pray is we have yet to discover that prayer actually resolves our anxiety. Maybe we don't pray actually comes from plenty of reasons that we just are anxious. Listen, to pray is to risk believing, right? It's to risk trusting someone that might let you down. To pray is to get our hopes up, and then no one likes having their hopes dashed. Prayer means that the risk of facing silence when we're addicted to noise. Prayer means we run the risk of having our motives exposed. Can I really be this honest before God and have these thoughts and feelings? To pray is to risk insecurity. I'm not eloquent. I'm not confident. I don't know the lingo. I don't want to get it wrong. So what could possibly compel us not to let our fears and anxieties cripple us and be willing to step into the mystery of prayer? I think Paul tells us in the words that we just read, or they were there, I don't know if you read them. He doesn't begin with, "Don't be anxious, pray." He begins with, "The Lord is near." I was reading from a guy named Tyler Station this week. He's a author and pastor. This is what he says. The deep fear that robs us from praying is the lie that the Lord isn't near. The lie that God has forgotten me, that I'm not in good hands, that my future isn't secure. It's the worry that at the end of the day, this God who isn't near can't be trusted, and that he's something less than what he promises to be. That's the lie of the enemy. That's the lie we must deny. The starting place for all of us in this room this morning, regardless of how you would define your walk with the Lord today, is these four words. It's the assurance of these four words. The Lord is near. And he really is. He's not distant. No, he's close. He's present. He's not disinterested. He's listening. He's not silent. He has much he wants to say to us. This must be what compelled the disciples to ask Jesus, the one they saw interact and commune with the Father. Lord, teach us to pray like that, the way you pray. So, as we step into this year, I'm closing, but I'm not. So this is just, this is a long close. So, I want to give you some practical things. First of all, this. Prayer is a practice we engage in by which we encounter the living God. It is not a theory to be learned. I'm going to say that again. Prayer is a practice we engage in by which we encounter the living God. It's not a theory to be learned. Jesus, he doesn't answer the disciples with instruction, but he gives them demonstration. So about a month ago, we'd gone to a Christmas party. We went to Ruth Chris, and it's been a long time since I've been there. And it was good. It was really good. And so Sarah and I came home, and we were telling the boys about it. And I was really rubbing it in. Like, I was letting them know how good it was. And they were asking all kinds of questions about it, which was great. So we decided for Christmas, because we like to do some, like, things together, not just give a bunch of gifts. And so we decided that 2 days after Christmas, we would take them to Ruth Crisp. And we'd been building it up the whole time. Made everybody dress up. It was great. And we go in, and then when they, you should have seen their face when they bring that sizzling steak out. It's just, I don't know what kind of magic they got going. It's a lot of butter, I know that, but that's why I'm doing the cleanse. So, but this steak is sizzling, and I watched their face as they, you don't need steak sauce, as they took a bite of that beautiful piece of meat, and amen. Here's my point. I can give you facts about an amazing meal, but memorizing facts will never give you the experience of the meal. You have to have a fork and you have to have a knife to experience it. Prayer is not memorizing facts. It's a relational discovery. The most important discovery you will ever make is the Father's love. That's it. And it's just that. A discovery, it can't be taught. It has to be discovered, and everything flows from that discovery. When it comes to prayer, you can read all the classics, you can treasure up every biblical insight, you can memorize facts, or you can live daily in relationship with God through prayer. So over this year, starting this week, here's my first ask. Will you join me in saying yes to the invitation to encounter the living God in prayer? With all of your baggage, with all of my baggage, with all our questions, with all our doubts, with all our hurts, will you step into the mystery with me and see where the Lord meets us? Here's the second thing. Prayer is an invitation to pray as you can. I want you to listen to me. I'm not inviting you to pray like you can't. I'm simply inviting you to pray where you are, with what you have, exactly as you can. If you can pray for 60 seconds, pray for 60 seconds. If you can pray out loud, great. If you can't, don't. If you need to journal your prayers instead of speaking them out or rehearsing them in your mind, pray as you can. If you can pray at home, pray. If you can pray when you're running, pray when you're running. If you pray on your commute, pray. If you can't pray with hope, listen to this. If you can't pray with hope and faith, that's okay. Pray as you can and tell God about your doubts and your disappointments. Let Him know. If you can't pray right now with praise and adoration, that's okay. Pray as you can. Give God your complaints. Give God your confusion. The invitation is to pray as you can, not as you can't. So will you join me this week? It's that simple. To pray as you can. Somewhere along the way, listen to me, what I believe we will discover is that the Lord is indeed near. I heard the words to Mother Teresa said this: if we really mean to pray and we want to pray, then we must be ready to do it now. And I love the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus. For you OCD people, I love it. And there is this moment where, you know, Martha, she's trying to get it all right. Like, it's all got to be perfect. She's the perfect hostess, and she's running, and she's doing all the things. And where's Mary? Oh, she's with Jesus, right? And she brings this complaint about her sister to Jesus. And his response to her helps inform his response that he's going to actually give to his disciples in the following section, which is interesting. But what Jesus says here is, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And he doesn't dismiss her concern, but he invites her to recognize the better portion that her sister had chosen. And you know what it is? It's intimacy with Him. It's being with Jesus. So my prayer as one of your pastors, as we step into this year, would we be a people that grow in that? Sitting before Him, praying as you can. I'm going to ask the team to come back up. We've done a lot of things today. We're reading the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. I'm about to read a liturgy over you. We're making some changes today. And But where you're at, if you would just bow your head. This is a liturgy that it's really a poem by a guy named Ted Lauder. And I found it years ago. I often read it. But I just wanted to read it over you today. So with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, listen to these words. Holy One, there's something I wanted to tell you. But there have been errands to run, bills to pay, arrangements to make, meetings to attend, friends to entertain, washing to do. And I forgot what it is I wanted to say to you, and mostly I forgot what I'm about or why. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Eternal One, there's something I wanted to tell you, but my mind races with worry and watching, with weighing and planning, with rutted slights, pothole grievances, with leaky dreams and leaky plumbing, leaky relationships I keep trying to plug up. And my attention is preoccupied with loneliness, with doubt, with things I covet. And I forgot what it is I wanted to say to you and how to say it honestly or how to do much of anything. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Almighty One, there is something I wanted to ask you, but I stumbled along the edge of a nameless rage, haunted by 100 floating fears of terrorists of all kinds, of losing my job, of failing, of getting sick and old, having loved ones die, of dying. I forget what the real question is that I wanted to ask, and I forget to listen anyway, because you seem unreal and far away, and I've forgotten what it is that I have forgotten. Oh God, don't forget me, please, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Oh Father in heaven, perhaps you've already heard what I wanted to tell you. What I wanted to ask is, forgive me, heal me, increase my courage, please. Renew in me a little of love and faith, a sense of confidence, and a vision of what it might mean to live as though you were real and I mattered, and if everyone was a sister and a brother. What I wanted to ask in my blundering way is, don't give up on me. Don't become too sad about me, but laugh with me. Try again with me, and I will with you too. What I wanted to ask is for peace enough to want and work for me, and for joy enough to share, and for the awareness that is keen enough to sense your presence. Here, now, there, then, and always. Lord, we need you. And there are times of anxiousness and worry and fears. It's all the noise around us, and it is so easy to be distracted, to forget. So would you help us? Help us in our prayer life. Help us to be able to sit still before you. Would you continue to show us that you are oh so near? In your precious holy name we ask. Amen.